Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, Travis, before we Chris Farley, Julia Sweeney on the happy hour and go, remember that one time you did the thing as Pat where you said, remember the one time when Cameron Hughes was here?
Sat right here in this chair.
Live, and we did a wine tasting, remember?
He opened your palate up to all these new things.
Saturday Night Live bit. Can you take out your organ for me, Sean? Please, thank you. As a former Catholic, thank you. This is a sacramental wine. Cameron, I will confess to you.
That's not the blood of Christ. That's not red.
That, listen, I need to keep my business going. And we love all our sponsors.
But some we love more than others.
But when I heard about the prices of your wine, I'm like, this is going to be shit wine.
What have I
crappy wine, but I am going to say that I love it. Because I need to keep this little dog and pony show and going. What, do you remember the first you came up in the kitchen? I'm like, oh my God, try this.
It's not bad.
No, not bad. I was like, I know wine. This is fantastic. Like, I literally, when we first got you, I was like, oh, that's great. You know, we were thinking we should have a wine sponsor, but I was like going, oh, this isn't any wine sponsor. This is like, and so then I tried it and I was really afraid. I thought, oh God, this is going to be shitty.
I can't remember what it was, but it was like, I was like, this is like caramel apple pie with vanilla ice cream on top.
It was,
I was like,
Chardonnay.
I was like,
That sounds like the Rose Seco Chard.
Yes, but I was honestly shocked. Because I thought, like, I've been, and, you know, you and I thought we were all so smart. Like, we know the best place to get it, you know, wherever it is, like supermarkets
six
here.
Bottles, I get 30% off.
Six bottles, I get 30% off. But you realize, like, first of all, they're way over inflating the price you see there. So you're not
playing
really getting
yeah.
30%, yeah. You know.
That's like the nickel sale.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait a sec.
For a limited time, save up to 15% off with one of the new Radio Mix sampler packs. OMG, plus free shipping on top of the already amazing prices. Go to chwine.com/Stephanie or text my name, Stephanie, to 511-511. 15% off, Travis. Free shipping. What? With one of those new Radio Mix sampler packs. Check them out. Text Stephanie to 511-511 or go to chwine.com/Stephanie. Oh my God, she's so sweet. I'm not sure if I can say fuck, but it's Julia fucking Sweeney, comedy legend. But she, and I gave her my Because Trump glass.
I love that.
Because,
I want one.
Because I know, I was reading, I just love this. The first description of you is benevolent, sweet-faced actress and comedian.
I know,
Julia
I did
Sweeney.
Not write that. Somebody
I know.
Put that in on IMDb.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm hoping you're going to say fuck Trump at some point.
Oh, yes. I say fuck Trump all day long.
Yay! We already got a fuck Trump. Okay.
It's a little bar around here.
Oh, my God.
Because you seem like the nicest person in the world, and you are.
No,
but
I'm
can
not.
You believe this?
I'm so not.
It's bullshit.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
just on the way here, I was listening to McConnell. Actually, the whole, everything.
Right.
The whole, it's not even Trump. It's bigger. Trump is just a headpiece.
I know.
It's like, he's the distraction while they rape the country.
Thank you. And cover our mouth.
I know. So I hate
it.
To even concentrate on Trump because I really do think he's the little puppet that's saying, look over here, look over here.
As we're
while
recording
the Republicans
this, Julia,
don't. Yeah.
He just called a woman a horse face. So while we're recording this, he just.
He did?
He called Julie.
Stormy.
Stormy Daniels a horse face. The president of the United States tweeted, now I can go after horse face and a third rate lawyer. I'm like,
Oh my god,
I'm fucking out.
She did. She did come back at him though and called him Tiny.
Oh,
and said shortcomings.
Yeah, she's like, bring it, Tiny.
Oh god, it's just so. It's really. It's just the degrading of the office,
of everything, of our country.
Which
of the
I used
office?
To think about Reagan. I used to feel that way about Reagan.
Right.
The way, and then like Trump's like 100 times worse. Like it's so. Like,
I'm not even sure if 100's the number, Julia. There's some number.
No.
How about 1,000?
Like a kajillion.
What about how he gets on the phone with his Saudi Arabian, you know, prince
yeah.
now? He's like, he swore to me they yeah. had nothing to do with yeah. it.
Sometimes you bring a bone saw.
You know, you just listen
to
people.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Something, things, shit goes wrong.
That's so disturbing. Okay. I know.
And now, right. Okay.
Now we drink.
Okay. Now let's have it. Yes, we need another drink.
Okay.
Okay, yesterday
yes.
to calm myself, I watched Elizabeth Warren's new video like 10
yeah,
times
yes.
just to calm myself down.
Yeah. Oh, and today he's back to Pocahontas and nobody believes even the Cherokees don't want her.
But he doesn't even understand the difference between being a member of a Native
okay.
American. Like he doesn't get any.
I know you're literate because you're on NPR and shit. Do you feel like someone's going to get killed with a rock like Piggy at some point? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you feel like someone? It's like gonna get killed. Like he's gonna hit someone with a rock, and no one will care. They'll just
Who?
Be like
Trump.
I no, yes, like he's gonna kill someone with a rock. Like maybe Chris Christie.
Why are you saying a rock?
Because
it's
that's
a Lord, of the Flies
Lord of the Flies reference. Remember they killed Piggy with a rock. And
oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I missed
that's
that.
All right.
I'm not literate. You have to explain those references to
fancy,
me.
Fancy all those fancy.
Okay.
Wait, don't tell me NPR references. Fine, Julia
Sweeney. I couldn't do that show. I couldn't keep up with the. It would take me. First of all, you don't really get paid to be on that show. I had to spend 500 hours preparing for that show and then still not get any of the answers. So, no.
We've already told our stories.
You
came in and said, Great House, and I said, I can't remember which male comedian it was, but actually walked in years ago and said, wow, it's amazing how much money you can make failing in this business.
Oh, that's true.
I was like, that's all right. And then you told your...
Yes, I have the pool that Pat built because I did the Pat movie, which might be a shock for people to hear was a huge bomb. And I took the money and put a pool in my backyard. So I used to think, oh, the Pat movie is a bomb. I guess I'll go for a swim.
Oh, splash, splash.
Yeah.
Bring
anyway.
Me another margarita.
Exactly.
I'm so sad. Wah.
But I will say it's amazing. I don't even mean to get into the male-female
yeah.
stuff. But
yeah.
having been in this business so long, yes, you can make a lot of money failing. But men can fail longer and
oh.
harder
oh,
and
yeah.
for more money and for a longer period of time than
Thanks.
Women. Women get about 2 chances and men get like
yeah.
8 chances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. I remember after my my disastrous late night show, 1995, I'm thinking, oh, the world's my oyster now. I can do sitcom and other stuff I'd really like to do. And no, they were all like, no. She had her chance. She's done.
Right. No, it's true.
I was like, really? They're like, no, she's going to end up working in her basement. I'm like, well, that's bullshit. Oh, never mind.
Okay, first of all, you have a great house. And
Thank
you have this great basement.
Thank you.
Life is good for you. Let's
it's,
just be happy with
right?
what
it's
we
like,
have.
When,
she's gonna
it's
commute.
Like, it's like Wayne's yes. World has met its Pat. Remember in the 90s?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay, I don't even know. Where. Because
okay.
we were talking about that. We were saying, like, even its Pat, which... First of all, can you just make the sound? Because I don't know why. I just always like the... Mo Collins was here, and we just made her do just the Stewart's mom.
No, that was oh, my God. That wasn't his mom. That was...
Mo Collins, yes.
Yeah, no, she was doing... It was her old, the old lady character.
Right. Oh,
not,
right, right,
not
right,
Stewart's
right,
mom.
Right.
I can't remember her name.
Yes, right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Just brilliant sketch comedians. There's just... That's the thing. You just remember the sound. Just the sound of Pat before she even spoke.
So glad I'm known for that. That was worth a lifetime to be born and dedicate my life to art. So
well,
I can
we
be remembered
saying,
that way.
We were saying... So we were saying now that could you do that character now if you were starting on SNL? Because
I think you could, but you
issues,
couldn't do it exactly the same way.
Right.
Obviously, I've thought about it a lot since I was Pat, but the thing I realized was, because when I came up with the idea of Pat, it wasn't that it was going to be an androgynous character. It was after a person that
it
drove me
trans,
crazy.
Trans, obviously. It
no.
Yeah.
And well, also, in my mind, Pat isn't trans.
Right.
Pat's
because
not
Pat,
even...
Pat is, a, of course, a...
Well,
oh,
Pat's
shit.
Just androgynous to people.
All right. God
but
damn
I,
it.
In
I
my
thought
mind,
that was going to be our publicity.
In my mind, Pat is
because...
definitely either a man or woman. We just don't know which it is. Which is a totally different thing. In fact, I wanted to do a sketch... Where we find out that Pat is really homophobic, but you don't
you
still
don't
know
which side he doesn't
Pat's,
like.
Right, exactly. So in my mind, that's what it is. I think now I could have done it. And in retrospect, I should have done it this way if I had. Because I kept thinking about this character that it was based on. I was trying to be this annoying character who stood too close and drooled all the time and had this voice. And then I kind of added on the androgynous part of it because I wasn't really pulling off seeming like a guy. So then that became a life of its own. Then that became its own thing. So Pat started out for me being annoyed by somebody, which of course people who are androgynous are just people and they can be annoying or not annoying or anything else.
Right.
So in a way it was unfortunate that Pat turned out, like, I think if I'd done it again, if I could do it again, I would do Pat the same, but not the personality. I would just make Pat an enigma, and the comedy would all be about people's reaction only to Pat, and Pat would almost be like Charlie Chaplin, just a blank thing that people react
people
to.
People rejected their own shit.
And
on.
I think that could be done now.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could do Pat as an annoying person now as an androgynous person.
Right, Because then they would make you
They
say,
would think that you're saying that androgynous people are annoying like that, which is not at all what I was saying.
Right. God damn it, Julia Sweeney. I really need the headline for this happy hour. We finally find out what sex Pat is.
We need some publicity here.
Have some more wine. It's a fantastic Cameron Hughes.
I have no answer to it. There's no amount of wine that will get it out of me because there is no answer.
That's okay. You know what? We'll torture you with a bone saw and then you'll give us incorrect information.
Exactly.
Like
then
you do under torture.
Yes.
And then you'll have to explain
How
for years.
Stephanie
Miller
think?
Got me drunk and then used a bone saw and I didn't really know the sex of Pat.
I can't believe now they're saying, like, we've done all of these studies and we've found that physically torturing someone elicits unreliable information. My God.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, anyone who's been a parent or had a kid, like, that is the most obvious information. That why would that be something you'd have to study? Obviously, if you're torturing someone, they're going to say whatever you want them to say or anything to make it stop. That's the most obvious thing. How can that need studies? Why would they even keep doing that? It's just unreliable.
It's like the Steve Carell thing in 40-Year-Old Virgin when he's doing the chest waxing. Oh, motherfucker, cocksucker, goddamn, Pat's a man. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you would just say anything to go, whatever, just stop.
It's not official if it's under duress.
Right. Yes. I think torture always was just, we would like to torture people.
But now, like, it's just, it's gotten so mean in Trump world. What was the story, Travis, the other day? So now not only are kids having to go through active shooter drills, but there was a story, I can't remember what state, the trans students, they wouldn't let them go in either bathroom for the drill.
I believe it was
so
West Virginia.
It's like, well, you're just going to get shot because we can't agree on which bathroom you can go hide in.
Oh, my God.
It was in West Virginia, I believe, or Virginia. It was an active shooter drill.
Right.
And they literally, it was a trans student, and the boys wouldn't let her, I don't even know if it was I don't know what
that's Lord
the
of the
gender
Flies.
Was.
Right.
I don't know what gender it was. I said it. Now I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
I don't know what gender this person was. They wouldn't let.
They
could not
let
go.
Them.
They could them.
They didn't let them.
They didn't let them go into the.
Way to go,
restroom.
Travis. You are the most offensive person to trans people on a podcast that Pat's on. Jesus.
I'm not good.
Actually, trans people are very concerned about being the gender they're. Being
right. And if I
they don't like the gender neutral pronouns,
right?
They want their pronoun of whatever they are.
Yes.
And I don't know what this person's pronoun was.
Okay. All right, anyway, Julia, let's move on from this tragedy.
All right, no, I'm
gonna
to...
print something just to set you off now.
All right,
okay.
So I was saying, first of all, I feel horrible because I am three triumphant one woman shows ago because I saw God Said Ha before it went to Broadway.
Yes.
It was so fantastic, of course, but you've done two since then.
I've done three since
then. Three since then. Pardon
now,
me.
Well, I did In the Family Way, and then I did Letting Go of God.
Yeah.
And then I just did one called Julia Sweeney, Older and Wider.
Right.
Which is going to open, I don't think I can announce where, but it's going to open at a very nice place here in Los Angeles in February.
Oh, well, you'll be
February
back.
4th,
I feel like I saw that
to talk
somewhere.
About that.
Did you? Because, I don't know.
Went
they
to
haven't
Spokane.
Given me, and then I went. I
Spokane,
just went to Spokane.
You're where you were born, your hometown.
Yeah,
yeah.
I did it there, and now I'm working on a new show on Sunday nights at the Groundlings in their small theater called I As Well.
See, we have so many 1 degrees of beloveds, right? Because Bethel Peters was just here. You obviously developed a lot of your stuff at
Cabaret.
Cabaret.
Yes.
Jill Sobule just stayed with me.
Yeah. She just stayed with me, too.
Yes, and you did. I didn't know you did a show with her, Jill and Julia.
Oh, then we did the Jill and Julia show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another show.
Wow. Wow. I am. Wow.
When Jill sings I Kiss a Girl and she's with Pat.
Wait a minute. What does that
Wait
mean?
A minute. What Wait does Pat minute? Think about it?
I know. Does Pat feel like, why are you calling me a girl?
I don't know.
Or is Pat embracing it?
Yeah.
And kissing a girl?
I think you just have to play it with Pat being oblivious to what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Because we're doing Chicago Sexy Liberal October 27th. And so many people are like, Julia Sweeney lives in Chicago. Can't you get her? And I was like, I don't know. She used to. She's moved.
I'm going
moved
back and
here.
Forth. Well, my husband's there. So okay. We still have our place there. So I'm going back and forth.
Okay. Are you there October 27th?
No, I'm not. I'm
All
here.
Right. Okay. All right, people. Is that an answer enough for you?
Confirmed.
We have Jan Schakowsky and we have Watergate prosecutor Jill Weinbanks on panel.
Oh, Jill Schakowsky is my representative.
She's
in
fantastic.
Evanston. I love her. Yeah.
She's fantastic. But anyway, we couldn't keep track because you moved right Just there in,
yes.
when you raised your. Okay, so did you really adopt a Chinese child and name her Mulan? I mean, did you.
Okay, no.
Okay, were you considering Aladdin and also Pocahontas?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I decided to adopt a baby. They kind of. I don't know how they figure out who your baby is going to be. I think it's just random or somehow based on astrology maybe, but they don't tell you. They just tell you they've come up with who your baby is.
Right.
So I had decided to name my daughter Tara because it's a Buddhist name. The Tara is the Buddhist goddess of compassion.
Okay.
And also it's an Irish name and I'm Irish. So sure. I'm of Irish descent, I should say.
Sure.
And so I came up with Tara. And then when I got there, they said, this is your baby. What are you naming her? And I said, Tara. And they said, well, you might want to keep her actual name, which is Mulan. And then I said,
Do you have any non-Disney names?
I said, Mulan? You mean like the Disney animated character? And they were like, it's Mulan is an ancient, beautiful Chinese name. And I was like, I live in Hollywood. I can't have a kid named Mulan. People will think it's the only Chinese name I could think of. I cannot.
That's exactly what I said. I was like,
a kid named Mulan. I can't. So I didn't. I took away her name. I named her Tara. And then she came. And she was a year and a half. So she was always already kind of a person.
Right.
And then she came here and she would not answer to Tara. And she would not respond to it. And then so finally I just gave it up and started calling her Mulan. And then when I married Michael and he adopted her,
right.
She officially, legally changed her name back to Mulan.
Right.
When she was 8.
Did she respond to any of the Princess Isn't Frozen or no?
What?
No. Did you try any of the names in Frozen or no?
No.
No.
I just, all right. She's just new.
I'm spitballing with you.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's how she got the name Mulan. It was not me. It was okay. Someone else.
She chose it herself.
In China. She fought for that name. Okay. Actually, she did only recently say to me, it is kind of annoying. Like, she didn't understand. When she's a baby, she does. It's like I want to take her and say, I know more than you right now.
Trust me on this
one. I know you don't want to be Mulan. And then she did like it because she goes, Mom, everyone remembers my name. And I'm like, yeah. But then now that she's in college, she said, sometimes it's annoying because I have to keep explaining to people how I have this name.
Okay. I was going to ask because she's in college now.
Yes.
Hold that thought, Julia, while I pour myself some more Cameron Hughes Lot 595 Chardonnay. And you and Julia are drinking a Grenache from Spain.
Yeah.
Right? Lot 623, I'm reading right here. I'm sorry, how much was that, Travis?
I believe it was $12 a bottle.
What? Wine mic drop, everybody. I'm telling you, these prices are unbelievable. These are award-winning wines at least half price. That, can you believe it? That's why Cameron Hughes is the number one wine brand online. Well, how does he do it? He goes to wineries all over the world, right? He tastes it. He cuts out the middleman. And there you go. Passes all that savings right on to you. 40 to 80% off what you'd pay for the same wine at retail. He keeps his sources secret. I could not joggle it out of him.
You tried as hard as you could.
But that's why you get those amazing prices. Luxury mix samplers available now. OMG, there's an elegant red sampler. You get an even better deal than these already amazing prices. Cameron Hughes Wine, it's all about what's inside the bottle. His name's on it, right?
I mean, he's serious about this stuff.
Yes, he stands behind it, guarantees 100% of every bottle of wine he sells. For a limited time, save up to 15% off one of the new radio mix sampler packs, plus free shipping. What? chwine.com/Stephanie or text my name, Stephanie, to 511-511. 15% off, free shipping with the new radio mix sampler packs. Text Stephanie to 511-511 or go right to chwine.com/Stephanie. Julia Sweeney. Okay, because older and wider.
Yes, older
you
and wider.
You look fantastic and beautiful. I've always thought you're so beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And you still are. Wow. But thank you. Older and wider.
Older, but I am older and wider.
Is, you talk about how your matronly personality has caught up to your body.
Yes.
You said now with your husband as the breadwinner, you can be the bread eater.
Yeah. Wow, you have so much information.
I do.
That's true.
I didn't.
I am the bread eater. Well, now I'm making money again, so.
Yeah. So now, that's exactly.
Now I'm the breadwinner. Now he gets to be the bread eater.
Right. See, it's a, yes. it's a that's a partnership. That is magical.
No, it is good.
Wait. Speaking of your, you were talking about heritage. Your DNA. You're part Neanderthal.
Yes, I did my
because you know, Elizabeth Warren just took her DNA test. What does that mean? Part Neanderthal.
Well, I mean, it just means that my DNA shows that I'm in the top 2% of all people with Neanderthal DNA, but that's actually common among people from Northern European Irish heritage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I don't know.
All right.
People in this room could also be Neanderthals. Right.
Could very well
Listen,
be.
Listen, I would have made a fire for you in here if I'd known.
Right.
I got Cherokee blood in me, too. I don't want to tick off any tribe members, though.
Oh, yes.
oh, my God. Can you believe in the same day, literally, the President of the United States is called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas and Stormy Daniels Horseface? I feel like we're in some kind of like
I know.
Demented
okay,
eighth
but
grade.
I know just... this seems like we keep saying this over and over again. Okay. But and I keep saying it and then I break it. But I am really trying not to pay attention to Trump.
Uh-huh.
It's really like just paying attention to a 2-year-old having a tantrum day and night. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter. He's the distraction so that the Republicans can rape the country, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's almost like
Mitch McConnell announced
candy
today...
to get mad at him.
Right.
You know, like it's triggering you in ways. It's taking up your brain space. It's making you upset. In the meantime, Mitch McConnell today is saying that we have to cut social services because the deficit.
Where did this deficit come from?
Yeah, what
happened?
And
now we have to cut Social Security and Medicare.
17% in 1 year. What could have happened?
Right, because we're all like, oh, but, you know, tax cuts for the rich and the trade war is going to cause a, oh, there's $1 trillion deficit.
Okay, but I'm glad because the two news outlets that I heard that from, both of them said, this deficit is a direct result of the tax cuts that went to the rich.
Yes, yes, of course.
And then when he said, I don't know when we're going to get serious about cutting these entitlements. Like, how does Mitch McConnell have the balls to get up and even say that?
Yeah.
Well, do you think he really believes it?
Yeah, they're in his turtle shell.
But, I mean, that's my question. Is he that cynical that it's just like, this is what we say and this is what we do? Or does he really think that entitlements are the... He can't think entitlements are what causes 17% increase in the deficit.
They control all three branches of government. Is he really going, I don't know, these Democrats now.
And it happened
this
in
deficit,
1 year.
And now we were going to need to take grandma's... Wait a minute, what?
No, I know.
You are the ones that... What? No, Barack Obama handed you the best economy.
Right.
What?
Okay. And you know, if Trump gets reelected, which I'm afraid he's going to be.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no, no. He's not even going to be here in 2020. Julia Sweeney, let me pour some more wine before I talk to you.
She's got a psychic.
No, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I just think without an economy crash and the way that it's already rigged because of gerrymandering, because of the electoral college,
don't say that.
Everything else.
Gizzy-bibba.
Okay.
To quote another Saturday Night Live character, zipit.com. Yeah. What?
Okay.
No, we can do it. We can swarm the polls. We can do this. You can't. That's what they're hoping for, is we're going to get so dispirited. We're like, oh, they're going to rig it again. It's not going to count.
No, I think we should do everything we can. I'm just saying that it is rigged on their side. They've rigged it.
Oh, no. But we can unrig it. We really can. I mean, you're right. I have to believe that.
I hope that's true.
Or I would have to just sit here and
I have
make
a lot
the
of
pat
hope
noise
that's
all
true,
day.
But I'm preparing for it not to be true.
Okay.
My husband does that to me all the time, too.
This is why she's an atheist now. See, I came from Catholic background. I went to 12 years hard time Catholic school. Yeah.
Did you like it? Or you'd hate it?
No.
No, you didn't like it?
No.
I liked it.
I mean, no, I liked it. I mean, we didn't know any different, right?
I wanted to be a nun.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So that didn't work out. But you wouldn't have had a pet pool if you were a nun.
They were women who chose not to have kids and lived together in a house and helped poor people. They were cool.
But you wouldn't have a pet pool if you were a nun.
That's true.
Yeah. But so... I did 12 years hard time.
Maybe I'd have some self-respect. Just kidding. Okay.
Julia Sweeney, listen to me. You are good enough.
I tried so hard.
I'm just going to quote every other Saturday Night Live character to Julia Sweeney. You're good enough. You're smart enough.
Oh.
Don't even get
me
started.
Don't get me started.
Don't get... Oh.
Well, I as well is completely because of Al Franken. That's what I'm doing the show for, to talk about Al Franken.
Really?
That's what that show's about. Yes. Well, that's the heart of the show for me.
What do you say about it?
I just say how unfair it is.
It's
how
fucking bullshit. Unfair.
And it's when I saw Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris up there.
Yeah.
Like they were the Women's Temperance Christian Union.
Yeah.
Saying that he had to go. That was harder for me than Trump being elected. Because
yeah.
That's like my own. Those people are my own shooting themselves in the foot because they think that they're going to be pure and it's going to allow them to go after other people. And it didn't friggin' matter at all.
They don't play by the same rules. They're accused of rape, sexual assault. I'm like, he took a goofy picture when he was a comedian, or he put his hand in the wrong place in a photo op.
But he's not even putting his hand in the wrong place.
No.
His fingers are above. She's wearing a flak jacket. That's the joke of the picture.
He's not even touching her.
No, I know. Anyway.
Okay. And then all the women from Saturday Night Live that put forward a thing saying, compared to every guy that's ever worked here, he was a choir boy.
No, it is true. Because I keep saying to people, everyone else at SNL, if I'd heard that about them, including myself, by the way.
Right, yeah. I've always thought that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pat's a lesbian?
But not Al Franken. He was the most decent, by far. Like, not even... It's actually so... It's so poignantly ironic and horrible that he's the one who was taken down mm-hmm. by something like that, because he's the most decent guy. He's
yeah.
never was like that with anyone I saw.
I know him from the early days of Air America. You know him from SNL.
Yeah.
I know Franny, his wife.
Oh,
I mean,
Franny is so
I've
great.
Done a million events with him. Like, I'm going, right. That's not
no, it's really...
him. And he was one of our most effective senators, particularly on Trump Russia. And it was an absolute political hit job. And we have got to fight differently, Julia. We can't just go, we got to, disarm.
No, it was really... Because when Kirsten Gillibrand came out and said, when it comes to groping, inappropriate touching, and rape, I draw a line in the sand and say none of it's appropriate. I was so enraged by that. There is a huge difference between those things.
Yeah.
And it now is the time to parse between those things.
Yeah.
Those are important things to parse between.
Yeah.
And the fact that she abdicated that for a quick political hit, it was just...
I agree.
And I became so disillusioned then by the Democratic Party. It was just incredibly upsetting to me. That was way more upsetting than Trump. Trump, I can explain. Kirsten Gillibrand doing that, I can only imagine it self-serving in her.
Except that I hope we're now going to adopt Eric Holder, what he said, because it was a joke and it was rhetorical. It was just like, when they go low, we kick them. And he laughed and he said, I don't mean anything illegal or violent. But he's right. We have got to fight.
Wait, I don't even know what he said.
He said, when they go low, we kick them. And he was joking. And he also went on to say, I don't mean
it.
He didn't literally mean kicking.
I don't mean violence. But...
Yes. But you're right. We do have to fight differently because, and they're asking Hillary Clinton about the fucking blowjob again with between two consenting adults. How many years ago now? I mean, I'm just like, okay, really? So now this news cycle again is going to be about Hillary and Bill and whatever, and the mainstream media never fucking learns.
This is what I'm worried about. The real important policy issues are difficult issues about climate change, how we live together in this world with 9 billion people or whatever. All those things, what governments owe, what kind of wealth we have in the world, how it's distributed. Those are really difficult questions, and really it requires a lot of difficult thinking to figure out the best way through those things. But we evolved to be gossipers in groups of 200 people who are walking around talking about who the chieftain or the high priestess was fucking on the side.
Right.
So all of this sordid information that's out there, and even all the most sordid stuff, all the sexual stuff is just triggering this part of our brains that gets completely consumed with it. And I'm worried the world's going to blow up while we're talking about who got a blowjob from somebody and if it was appropriate or not.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, no, you're absolutely right, Julia. That's what I keep saying. I mean, first of all, there is only one thing that's important, and that's the election in 3 weeks, because we're going to lose our country
and our democracy
forever.
We'll probably win the House, and we'll probably lose the Senate by more people.
You're such a buzzkill.
I'm sorry.
We're not giving up on the Senate yet.
It's more important. Okay, but what do you mean giving up?
This is what they're trying to do to us. They're trying to, like, go, they're going to rig it, and we're
not
going to win.
I'm going to vote.
Okay.
All the people who are going to vote are going to vote.
But I don't want to depress people like going,
you think
we're not going to win. It's already lost.
Happen? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have to fake it. All right.
Yes. Fake it. Like you've never done that, Julia Sweeney.
That's the fieriest stew we've gotten in here in a while.
All right.
All right, listen.
Okay, what else?
I know. Wait a minute. Speaking of Hillary, so I had missed that you played Chelsea and that she got upset.
Oh yes, that's true. Upset. And you know, now that I'm a mom, I totally agree with her. I mean, first of all, I had no lines as Chelsea Clinton. This was the insult of Chelsea Clinton. I had to play Chelsea. All I did was sit there.
How old was she at the time? Chelsea was like
15 or something, 14. Right. Okay. So all I did was put on a wig with curly hair, put on some braces, and take off all my makeup. That was all I did. I had nothing else. And then people were like, Julia portrayed her so unattractively. Really? I was just being me. Like, I literally just took off my makeup. So that was sort of hard to take. It was like, right. Oh, so I guess I see what you're saying about me.
I had
me.
No lines, but you're obviously like, hugely offensive.
It wasn't like I put a nose. Like, I didn't do anything to myself to make myself look bad. I tried to just look blank-faced like a kid with braces and hair. But on the other hand, I actually think Hillary was right to write that letter. You know, like now that I'm older, I think
you took the
you
bullet for Rush Limbaugh and all those motherfuckers because they were the ones actually, right? Calling her a dog.
Oh,
She was a kid. But when she was even younger than that, like she was a kid and they were making ugly jokes. And I can't remember the horrible jokes Rush Limbaugh told, but you probably were the most. SNL was the most visible, and you can imagine as a mom now that she was protective because she was like
If I saw somebody playing Mulan on SNL in any way, I would be apoplectic about it.
Yeah,
I would just think, come on, she's a kid, don't do that.
Yeah, well, thank God our as young teenage girls, our self-esteem is so hugely intact.
Oh yeah, so intact.
So
there's a joke in there about hymens and self-esteem. I don't know what it is. It's like my self-esteem is intact, unlike another part of my body. I don't know. Or the other way.
Something.
My hymen's intact, but my self-esteem isn't.
Exactly. That's a better one.
We do a running joke that mine's all like, you know.
Dusty.
Dusty, barroom doors, tumbleweeds. Jack Palance is down there.
He's doing some push-ups in there.
Yeah, he's doing push-ups.
One-arm push-ups.
My hooch gets kind of big. Julia.
Yes.
So in the new show, Older and Wider.
Yes.
You say you don't mind being older because now that you have gray hair, no one pays attention to you.
Yes, it's true.
You share an anecdote about a bus ride in Los Angeles to
God.
I say, number
Who wrote
one.
This? Somebody just has my show.
To number one, I say we have buses in LA. And number two, you ride them?
I do.
Okay.
I'm big into the public transportation. Wow. I can show you my pass.
Listen, there's no need to. Listen, we're not in the whole DNA birth certificate thing.
No, I
agree.
Public transportation.
I believe you. Okay. But so
I enjoy it. It's part of being a citizen of a big city, and I don't like cars on the road.
You're just become invisible, right? Like you were saying that you felt
I like
invisible.
Being invisible. Yeah. I do like
people don't pay attention.
Well, when I'm on stage, I want people to pay attention to me, and when I want service of any kind, I would like to have people pay attention to me. But otherwise, I would like people to ignore me.
But on the bus, you're invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like it. First of all, you get to observe. Well, the thing in the show, I feel weird talking about the show now, but my thing in the show is that I'm standing in the aisle between two women. They're having a conversation right through my head. Like one's talking right 3 inches to my nose, into my face, to her friend behind her, as if I'm not there. And then I say, you know, in the old days, I would have to eavesdrop like this. But now I just stand there and people talk right through my head. But it's great because you get to observe human behavior up close. And I learned that this woman is dating a new guy who is uncircumcised, and I guess it doesn't feel any different to her.
You're like Jane Goodall.
Yes.
You're the bus anthropologist of L.A.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do like the bus.
Oh, that's good news about the circumcised.
I'm
okay. Yeah. As a lesbian, has no relevance to me of any kind, but all right.
I think it'd be hard for you to take public transportation here. Well, do you know where your bus stop is?
No.
Stephanie!
She can walk down to the Red Line, though.
Okay. Do you take it downtown?
Who goes downtown and why?
First of all, downtown is fantastic.
I don't leave my house. I go to bed. I'm going to go to bed right after you leave.
She gets her wine delivered.
But you can go early in the morning. That's a great time to go
downtown.
No, I
work early in the morning. Julia. I'm just fucked.
Okay.
All right, listen.
I'm going to stop trying to convince
you. Why were you so traumatized by finding out that you were a Libra and not a Virgo? I don't understand. I'm a Libra.
I'm a Virgo.
What's your problem, dude? You were traumatized that your mother gave you the wrong date?
Well, my mother told me my birthday was September 10th.
So you've survived cancer, but that was the most traumatic.
No, it's really the thing that was funny about it in retrospect, which will not be funny now, is that I was really into being a Virgo. I had a big Virgo poster in my room.
Oh wow!
And it was a beautiful woman with long hair. It was those kind of like old 60s, 70s. And almost like a Peter Maxey kind of poster that said Virgo by some water. A woman whose hair is like water. It was beautiful. And then I found out I was a Libra, which is just a big scale. I didn't like that.
Wow.
But then I realized that it was all bullshit anyway, so.
Wow.
Why did she? It doesn't even matter.
Why did she tell you the wrong date? I don't understand.
Because she was trying to get me. She had five kids at home, and she's trying to get one of them out of there and into school. So she changed my birth date. I sympathize with her.
I get it.
I think she did the right thing. I was ready to go.
Let's get to the raucous part of the show where we talk about cancer. so now,
yes.
Do you feel, first of all, like Tig Notaro stole your entire act? Because I was like, "That's you stole my cancer and my tragic one woman."
No,
she's fantastic.
Cancer continues to bring comedy to people's lives. Why should it stop with me?
There's just a
cancer, take your hilarity to Tig. Do your work on her.
But that's what, I couldn't believe when I was sitting at God Says Hot, which is, of course, a huge hit, Broadway. But I was like, I can't believe she's making cancer funny. But
it is funny, though.
But you know what someone described? They said, it's not like you're seeing stand-up. You're just visiting with an old friend that you're catching up with. And that's how you make people feel. But it's an old friend that you're like, oh.
I hope
shit.
It's an old friend you want to catch up with.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Think if it's an old friend you don't want to catch up with, my show would really be excruciating.
I'd be like, wow.
Like, what? I'm standing on a corner and she's telling me way too much and I can't leave because I'm in a seat.
And I've paid for this seat. So now, but tell us, okay. You're oldest of five children, right?
Yeah.
The God Says Hot was about UN Michael, who has passed away of cancer. But you had cancer at the same time, right?
Yes, we had the cancer at the very same time.
Which was the subject of much hilarity, Travis, if you've seen God Says Hot.
It was funny. He was actually, I was thinking the other day, because now I've lost two brothers. The funniest people in our family are dead now. My dad, my brother Bill, and my brother Mike. The funniest three. I was actually on the non-funny side
of the
family.
You're the professional funny, though.
I know I'm professionally, but...
What did you lose Bill to? I didn't know.
Bill, alcoholism and oxycodone.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a lot. Let's really go into that one. No, that was sad. That was really tragic. And, that was the kind of thing... Well, like cancer with Mike, you could see it coming... for years, and we tried to stop it, and we ended up not being able to.
Well, so okay,
let's go back to Trump.
Your brother got cancer first, and then you got it at the same time. But so you guys were going through it together.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know. So it's interesting that that show was named God Says Hot, and then the last show was basically about you being an atheist.
Yes.
So,
when I had cancer, I was a believer.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Because I always had a very vague, I didn't have a very thought out view of God, or I had a vague idea that when you were in trouble, you could appeal to some higher source who would pay attention to you and grant you favors. I guess I hadn't really thought it through.
Yeah.
And I find that's common and that's fine. But there was this time where I decided, well, really it was because I had gone through a terrible breakup.
Right.
This was in 98, I think. And
your first marriage, right?
No. That was an easy breakup.
Oh, all right.
It was a later breakup.
Sorry. Oh, Wikipedia left that out.
No, I went through a very difficult breakup that really threw me into a depression. Like for the first time, it was really, because it wasn't just him. It was what I thought my life was going to be. And I wanted to be a mom. And I realized that was, and I didn't care about it. Adopting that I never had any problem with that, but I realized that I would have to do it on my own, which is a whole different thing, and my career, like there was just a real, it's a weird phrase, but kind of a come to Jesus moment with life where it was things are really not working out like you thought. I thought I would just sail through and everything would happen, like most people do. Anyway, most people have gone through this, but I went through it when I was about 38 or 39, and I for the first time, let myself just be as depressed as I needed to be about it.
Yeah.
And I really just laid on the couch and watched the Food Channel and let myself be as sad as I needed to be.
Yeah.
And which I think is the way to deal with it. I think trying to avoid sadness, it doesn't work. I think you just have to go there. I think you have to just go there. Okay. So then I thought, I had kind of a religious experience because I'd been crying a lot, having a lot of emotional trauma. And I had this night where I felt like a being came to me. Not like I could visualize, but a sensation.
Right.
Which I now understand how to explain it physiologically. But at the time I didn't. I thought it was like God was coming or something. And I just had this sense of peace come over me, like it was all going to turn out okay. Like I had this very big response to this moment. In my mind, the way I interpreted that from my culture and my understanding and my lack of scientific knowledge was that it was a supernatural good ball of love or whatever I thought it was.
Right.
So I decided, since I'd been raised Catholic and did like it, I would rejoin the Catholic Church. So I decided on St. Monica's in Santa Monica. Okay. And then I started going, and then I saw in the missal that they had a Bible study class, and I realized I'd never read the Bible. So for a year on Monday nights, I took this Bible study class there, and that was basically the beginning of the end. Because once I read the Bible and realized what was in the Bible, first of all, I was laughing every week so hard. Like, I couldn't believe a religion was based on this book. So then I went through a couple more years where I thought, well... So I left the Catholic Church, and then I thought, well, maybe I'm a Buddhist. Well, maybe, like, I tried out every way I could come up with to believe. And then I kind of educated myself about science along the way. And then I started reading all these wonderful authors, you know, like popular authors, popular science authors, like Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett, Steven Pinker, Michael Shermer. And then I think it was during a Daniel Dennett book, Darwin's Dangerous Idea, where I just had a moment and I just thought, I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe in the supernatural anymore. I really believe that the world is natural and explainable. We can't explain everything because we don't know everything.
Yeah.
But it is explainable.
You know, ex-Catholics are the largest religious group in the world, right?
Seriously. Oh, are they?
Yes.
Okay, that's good for me to know for my show.
Yeah.
Because I talk about Brett Kavanaugh and the whole Catholic connection. Like, I understand that boys' Catholic school mindset.
Yeah.
And it's so toxic and horrible. And... that's interesting because I started because you know that on the Supreme Court they're like 2/3 of the Supreme Court are Catholics and only 21% of America
didn't
is Catholic.
Seem like your drunk priest like at his confirmation hearing that was probably molested boys.
Well, also in addition to 2/3 of them being Catholic, 1/3 of the men on the Supreme Court are sexual assaulters.
Are they? Who else? Well, Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
So 2/3 of the men.
Well, he did an assault. I would not call him an assault.
That was sexual harassment.
I would say he inappropriately brought up
they're bad guys.
Sexual things.
They're bad guys.
No, they're creepy guys. To me, it's not even creepy what they did. Actually, either one of them, if they said, that was creepy. I shouldn't have done that. Like, like everybody's done stuff they're embarrassed about. Right. Everyone. Yeah. Like, just the not copying to it is the thing that shows such a lack of maturity and understanding.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
That's the part that's more upsetting to me than anything they're accused of.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just Donald Trump. Deny, 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 lie, lie, lie.
Right, right.
So I always say that I used to be a practicing Catholic and then I went professional, so I don't practice anymore. But
that's a good joke.
Well, I'm single and I don't want to be, but Travis is always like, oh, it'll happen when you don't expect it. It'll happen when you don't want it. And I'm like, well, then God's a dick.
Do it like I did. Just get on Grindr.
God's a dick.
letting
go of God was the other show.
So that was the other show. That was all about me losing my faith.
Right.
Hilarious. And I, because cancer. My first show was about cancer, that was even funnier. I know. I always make shows that are the hardest to sell.
Right.
When I did God Said Hi, I'd have to go like on the Today Show and say, come to my Broadway show. It's all about me and my brother having cancer for a year together. It's so great. Please come buy $85 tickets to see me tell you about my cancer.
It really was. And then Quentin Tarantino made the movie. I mean, it really was an amazing show. It was, and you're right. It's the kind of thing where you go, I can't believe I'm laughing at this, but it's so human and so funny.
Oh,
and you're making,
you.
And it's almost like the Trump administration. It's like having to make really dark shit funny somehow.
Yes.
I mean, that's our challenge as comedians, right?
I know. I don't know if I can make this one funny, this administration.
I know. No, it's
I mean, this new show
funny.
That I'm working on, I'm trying to talk about Al Franken and Brett Kavanaugh, and yet I need to make it funny, and it's very challenging.
Yeah, because Brett...
Cancer is actually easier than that. It is. Cancer. So is losing your religion is easier than that. This actually is the hardest one I've tried to make.
That's
funny.
A good title. Cancer's easier than Brett Kavanaugh.
It is.
I mean, he's obviously a drunken rapist.
He's not
perjurer.
A rapist. He's an assaulter.
Okay.
If he's a rapist, he would have lost his virginity many years earlier. Give him that.
Whatever.
So
I just love, I didn't ever know that you were an accountant.
Yes.
When you started the Groundlings and then got picked for Saturday Night Live.
What? Yes.
What?
Well, it was because...
My point is, will you do my taxes?
No, I don't do my own taxes anymore.
Oh, all right, fine.
I did do my taxes until I had, like, foreign income, and then it was too much.
Fair.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hang on. I have to keep track of... So your second show about, obviously, the whole adoption of your daughter from China
yes.
that we talked about.
Yes.
And then letting go of God. So obviously the Catholic upbringing, it feels like it, because I had the same thing. Like my sisters went to.
Where did you grow up?
Lockport, New York. I went to DeSales Catholic High School. I went to Catholic school my whole life. My sisters went to all Catholic private girls school in D.C.
Any
with the Brett Kavanaugh's.
Any religious among you? Anyone who.
Yeah, my dad was very Catholic.
But I mean, did any of them become priests or nuns in your family?
No, not that religious. My dad was very Catholic. He went to Notre Dame, and I've had like three people in my family go to Notre Dame. But yeah,
oh wow.
I mean, so yeah. But anyway, it is interesting that it's almost like, you know, when you're like raised at Mass. I remember just like, wasn't it like being an extra in a movie? Like you just. Peas and carrots. Like, you don't even know what you were saying when it was time to say the prayers. Like, you were just
theatrical training. To me, it was all theater. I actually love the Mass. I still love the Mass. I still go occasionally. I enjoy the ritual.
I don't even
know
what we were saying, did we? Were we in Catholic school? We were just like, Our Father.
No, but that isn't even the point of it. The point is to inculcate you into a culture that has rituals and ways of marking time and, you know, ways of burying and baptizing and marrying people.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter if you
know,
go.
I don't know that I'm
gibbity
atheist.
Gabbity.
I think I'm the other thing. I'm agnostic. The agnostic. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, look into it.
I believe in something, in a higher power, something. Yeah.
All right. Well.
Well.
You should see my show, Letting Go of God.
I think I will. How do I find that?
You can get it on Amazon.
All right. Well, thank you.
But don't do it.
Can I just
stay with your beliefs?
She might need to let it go.
You're married to a scientist? Is this?
I am.
Is this? Wow. What does he feel about Trump going, I don't know, I have to see who.
Oh, my God.
I have to see who drew it.
No,
the
I
climate.
Have to say.
I don't know that men are causing it.
Oh, my God.
I have the biggest, most powerful storms.
No, he makes him, it's so funny because my husband is almost like a stereotype of a quiet scientist who, he doesn't get ruffled. He really, his emotions are very, he's very stoic about that. Mm-hmm. He's, but when it comes to Trump, he just becomes apoplectic. Like, mm-hmm. He can't friggin' believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. Like, sort of like the Hulk. What's his name? Isn't that guy a scientist? Isn't Bill Bixby a scientist until...
Bruce Banner?
Yes.
He was really crazy when Rick Perry got made the head of Department of Energy.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
Michael's business, sometimes they deal with grants. So, like, that department that used to have a Nobel scientist running it.
Right.
No, I mean,
it's
so...
That guy.
It's really, I feel like he thinks it is the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Well, it probably is. Tell Mulan. But,
no, I tell her that.
Shit's almost over.
Actually, it's so funny because when I was
2030,
I was trying to get Mulan to move to California, go to college here.
Right.
And she was like, Mom, you've been telling me my whole life that the shit's going to hit the fan climate-wise. It's going to cause major political disruption and that you should stay by the Great Lakes because that's where all the fresh water is on the north. Our North American continent.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, move on. That's not going to happen right away.
Mommy's full of shit.
Come on. Come to California.
Where does she go to college?
Ohio. So she's in Ohio.
Okay. All right.
She wants to be a Midwesterner.
All right. Well.
But you know, the Midwestern's going to get hit. Midwest is going to get hit hard, too.
Yeah.
It could be that California's the best place to be. You don't know. It could actually, the temperatures could lower here.
Maybe.
There's certain unpredictable things.
Okay.
I don't trust any of it.
No, well, no one knows. I mean, there's not... No one knows what's going to happen. We know there'll be more Lyme disease.
You were quoted as saying you are very happy.
And more earthquakes. I didn't know that until the last few years.
You were quoted as saying you're very happy that you moved back here. You said, I'm happy. I keep saying to my husband, if I get hit by a bus today, which is, you know, a possibility since you ride the fucking bus.
Where did you get this? Are you following me around?
Just know that I have reached peak happiness.
Oh, you know what? That must
you cannot get hit by a bus. You got at least fucking 7 or 8 more goddamn one-woman shows, and you do not get hit by a bus. Stop riding the bus.
Shows. Well, first of all, the bus is probably the safest place to be in an accident.
Well, if you're going to get hit by a bus,
you're on the bus.
Okay.
I do feel incredibly happy. I do try to think every day might be my last day. I know that seems crazy, yeah. But I do have tried to take a moment every day and say,
"You survived hoo-ha cancer.
Thank you, universe. I'm so happy."
You had hooch cancer, man, and you survived it. And
that's like one of the easiest cancers to have.
Really?
If you're going to draw a straw in the cancer bin, cervical cancer is definitely one you want to draw if you have to draw one.
Really?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's a hysterectomy and some radiation away
from
health.
Yeah, my best friend just went through it in Bangkok. Oy. But then she had hemorrhaging from... So they had emergency surgery because she hemorrhaged after a hysterectomy. But yeah. But I mean, all these issues are so...
She'll recover from that. That's
part of why she
really
moved
dangerous.
Over there is because she had no health care here. I mean, this is just a fucked...
No, I know.
Yeah. I mean, this is why we have to take back
Elizabeth Warren. Are you for her for president? Do you think she has a shot?
I'm for fuck. I love her. First of all, I don't want to talk about 2020. We need to take back our country in 3 weeks.
We're not going to take back our country in 3 weeks.
Yes, we are.
If we take
back the House and Senate. We'll
take the House. That's good. That's a big step.
Listen, Queen Buzzkill.
I'm not buzzkilling. I'm saying... I was so in love with that video that Elizabeth Warren did.
I mean, I would be thrilled with
her. She is definitely the best candidate.
I'd be thrilled with Cory Booker. I'd be thrilled with...
But she's better than them. She really is the best
one.
All
right, well, let's do that then.
Can I throw a bomb into the middle of this?
Yes.
Just the headline will get you going.
What? What is it? What is the headline?
Trump says I won't accept the blame if Dems retake the House. Okay, of course, because
of course he can't. Don't listen to anything he says.
I know.
He's a crazy toddler.
Have you ever
having
met a
tantrum
human?
While people are robbing your house.
Have you ever met a human that's never apologized for anything in their life that will not take responsibility for anything?
Well, he's a 2-year-old. He's a cartoon narcissist.
Yeah. Okay.
Pay attention to the house that's being robbed.
Are a burgeoning,
not to the 2-year-old.
You're
a
burgeoning Hollywood ingenue. So wait, you're playing. This is where we are. You are playing A.D. Bryant, the SNL star's mom.
Yes.
In Shrill on Hulu.
Yes.
The Lorne Michaels produced. This is fantastic.
I know. I'm so excited.
Right?
Yeah. No, it was fun. I mean, I shot 6 episodes. It's a really funny show.
Didn't Tina and Amy Poehler just pay somebody's mom in some movie. This is what happens. You all end up playing each other's moms.
Yes, this is what happens. Time goes on. People age. That's what happens. I get to be the age where I could be the mother of a 30-year-old.
But this is what I love, like Kathleen Turner. I love when she was somebody, you know, some shit about her. And she said, I don't look like I did when I was 30. Get over it.
Right. I know. I love that too. Well, I had to go through that myself because I had been gone for 10 years.
Right.
And I definitely aged, and I realized I had to come back and, like, show people how I looked. And it was, you know, I think it was shocking for some people. Okay. I run into people now who are like, oh, hi. Like, no, I mean, it's true. And I'm sure, you know, it's the same for me. Like, 10 years is a lot.
Yeah. You look fantastic.
Well, thank
you. But this is...
I try.
Wait, I have to say, Sweeney was on the SNL cast alongside Jan Hooks. The late Jan Hooks, who also showed up in a recurring TV mom role on 30 Rock. What I missed, because I loved her too, what happened to Jan?
She also had lymphoma, like my brother did, I think. Okay. And she kept it a secret, except for just a few close friends.
Okay.
I didn't know about it. I was not a close friend of hers, but a great admirer. And I loved working with her. Yeah. And I was really devastated when she died, because I wasn't prepared for it at all.
I know, me
like,
too.
Like, I really was just like... I was like, can you please tell the world you're sick so that we can like get ready for you to go?
Yeah.
But I didn't know. And she was so, I could cry about it now. She was so especially kind to me on the show.
Yeah.
Like when she didn't need to be. She was the woman on the show doing all the parts and as great as anybody's ever been on that show. And she sent me a bouquet of flowers on my first time. And she would come up and talk to me about, she'd give me funny advice about how things were going to go down on the show. And she was just fantastic. And then also so friggin' talented.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Can I just tell you, that touches me so much because I've had this conversation with a couple of my good, you know, famous female comedian friends that I feel it's more important than ever now in the age of Trump and the Me Too movement to be in the sisterhood.
Yeah.
To have women's backs, because we were saying there are some, and you know, there's some women that are very competitive in the business, that are very jealous, that are not, you know. And so I remember all those women, too, that were really generous to me. That
yeah.
Were, and I try I know, to be yeah. like that. To, I right. try, I'm fans of a lot of people, and I try to lift up a lot of people and make them. And I feel like, you're right, people like Jan were like that. And, it, you know, we had Carol Burnett in here, which I was just telling you, and Lily Tomlin, who got
oh,
me.
Lily
Tomlin.
Tomlin
got me my first agent in Hollywood. When
she
I was
did?
No, I was a little freaking, I was a fucking baby DJ in Chicago, and she called ICM and said, you got to sign this girl. Like,
oh.
And I thought, like, but they're so.
I love
you know,
hearing
and,
that.
And, no, but Jane Fonda was just in here, Travis, remember?
Yeah.
She did, oh my God, Julia, such an amazing, beautiful speech about female friendship and
yeah.
her and Lily and Grace and Frankie. And I thought, like,
ah.
But don't you think it all connects right now with this
yeah.
whole, like, Trump era and misogyny and
I
the
know.
Me Too movement?
No, I think it's
we
true.
We gotta have each other's back. We gotta have a sisterhood.
Right. I think that's true. And also, big things can happen when women come together. I mean,
yeah.
the first wave of feminism, we got the vote, we got property rights. Like, there was, like, there's really substantial things that can happen when women come together.
Yeah, I agree. Julia Sweeney, I know you're straight, but listen, if you meant that in any other way, then that, this would be, all right. Listen, go see, yeah, it's time to play the exit music. Okay.
Okay, wait, I want to yes! plug something.
Yes, go ahead.
Because I didn't think I was going to be a performer, then I decided to be a performer again.
Yes.
I have a new website, and it's actually a newer even version of it. It's about to be launched. But the main thing I want to tell your listeners is to go sign up for my newsletter, because starting November 1st, I'm going to have these little videos that I'm making with my assistant, Hillary, who's right here.
Oh, my God. She's fantastic.
And she's helping me make, and I'm going to have like a recipe, a movie recommend, a book recommend, and just other little funny stuff in this newsletter every month. But I want people to sign up for my newsletter.
Please. And
JuliaSweeney.com.
And Hulu, the new movie where she plays Adi Bryant from SNL.
It's a TV show.
On Hulu.
And, also, and then if, I don't know if people are in LA, but on Sunday nights, I'm at the Groundlings workshopping this new show as well.
And listen, if you see her ground workshopping wherever, it means it's going to be big fucking goddamn Broadway hit. So go see it now.
I don't know about
and
that.
Go support her.
I think your view
the
of
sisterhood.
The future of my show
even
is
if,
like your even, belief that the blue, there's going to be a blue wave.
You just choose. And even if you're, even if you have a penis.
Very optimistic.
Even if you have a penis, go support the sisterhood and Julia Sweeney. All right. Thank you, Julia.
Thank
what
you.
An honor and a pleasure and a thrill.
No, I love it. I'll come back anytime.
Julia Sweeney.
Okay.